Hello and welcome to Astrology Studio for Sagittarius 2021-2022. My name is Eric Francis, and I'm recording on Thanksgiving Eve of 2021, November 24th, at 5:59 and 59 seconds, 6 p.m. sharp, and I'm happy to be doing this. This part of my work is the bit that's about like being on vacation, actually doing astrology. So there is lots of things to talk about here beside the rising tide, but I want to start the discussion of your astrology with eclipses. That is because the next big thing that happens to all of us is a total solar eclipse in the sign Sagittarius. That takes place on the 4th day of December at 2:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So Eastern time zone, a little ahead of 3 in the morning on the 4th. So that's kind of like most places, overnight Friday into Saturday. Let's see, even in Australia, it's taking place on the afternoon of the 4th, because it's so early in the day here on the East Coast. All right, so this is a demarcation point. It is it's also the, well, you might say it's the official astrological conclusion of 2021, and then new things start to happen. However, this eclipse is distinctive and outstanding and personal to you because it is taking place at 12 degrees of Sagittarius and 21 minutes, so right basically in the middle of Sagittarius. Not quite the midpoint. The midpoint's 15 even, but 12 and change has some distinctive meaning. That is the location in almost the chart of every adult of this thing called the Great Attractor. The Great Attractor is currently at a little above 14 degrees, so it precesses, which means it moves 1 degree every 70 years because it is a fixed point in space, not a planet. It doesn't wander around the sun. It is a deep space point, one that I've taken great interest in for many years, 20 years, in fact, since hearing about it from my friend Phil Sedgwick at a presentation he did at NORWAC, and I kind of took the ball and ran with it. And got as far as something I'll share on the resources, an interview with the co-discoverer of what this thing actually is. And what it actually is the focal point of 100,000 galaxies. Okay, the Milky Way, something like 30 billion stars. There are 100,000 galaxies near us. Space is big. So 100,000 is our immediately local, let's say, group, plus a little bit beyond that, plus all the other ones that are making this kind of treasure trail to the middle of Sagittarius, where there is, I am told by its discoverer, a giant pool of subatomic particles. Tell me what you think that would look like. Can you draw? Can you paint? Maybe take a picture? What does a giant pool of subatomic particles so large that it can attract to it 100,000 galaxies look like? I don't know. So it would seem to be there, and Brent Tully was kind enough to talk to me for an hour and 15 minutes and describe this thing. So that's, I'm going to link that on here. It's also on the front of Planet Waves FM. Worth knowing this. The thing about Sagittarius that I think is distinct in all of the signs is that it contains astronomical material that is specific to the meaning of the sign in a way that is not merely symbolic. So there is no bull in Taurus. There is a constellation that people think, oh, what if you really use your imagination, looks like a bull. Or maybe there's a couple of fishes in Pisces, and if you really, really stretch and maybe take a bong hit, you can look at that thing and say, oh, yeah, well, I could just... Thanks a lot. Sagittarius is deduced by the ancients as the sign of things distant, exotic, divine, spiritual, cosmic. Unbeknownst to those who came up with those delineations, which span from BC times in Greece out through the medieval, and pretty much we all had our minds made up around the time of Lilly in the mid-1600s. Nobody knew that the great attractor was in Sag. No one knew that there's this thing in Sag so powerful it's drawing toward it. Now, things have precessed and moved around a little bit, but this is true in our time and for many years around our time, many centuries around our time. Also in Sagittarius is the galactic core. The core of our galaxy is in Sagittarius, and that means that the supermassive black hole called Sagittarius A star, written Sagittarius capital A, with an asterisk next to it, pronounced Sagittarius A star, is at about 27 degrees of Sagittarius. Well, that's amazing, because Sagittarians, to my eye, are so like this. And all the ideas that we've been accumulating for decades about Sagittarius are all about this kind of thing. The sign associated with God is the one where the center of the galaxy is. And not only that, if you just jump a little bit, well, a lot beyond that, in the same direction, approximately, you find that you're on a trail of 100,000 fucking galaxies to the middle of this thing that's so prodigious and massive that it can pull them toward it. I've heard at 1,000,000 miles an hour. What the hell? What is this? Well, it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of power. It's a lot of strength. It is a direct spiritual source. It is this. It is the homing signal of the zodiac. It is the point of orientation. And it is, the biggest mystery. Just saying. Nobody really knows what this is. I watch a lot of physics lectures on Amazon, great courses, and all. I've watched like 100 of these things. Well, I don't really know what's going on, what's holding it all together. So Sagittarius contains all that is known and all the mysteries to which it points, but really it is the most gravity of all the signs right there, boom, pulling us toward it. And it is a radio source, many, many, many radio sources. So there's a lot going on there. And this is why Sagittarians are all so intense. This is why they're just Sagittarius. This is, I think it is the most distinct sign of all of them. And it comes with challenges. It is not easy to contain this stuff in your psyche as your primary identity. It is not easy to live in the world that is so committed to being something like everything other than these things would represent. The beauty, the mystery, the strangeness. And as a result, sometimes Sagittarians can lurch in the other direction of being kind of anti-spiritual. My funniest example is there's some Doors concert, I think, in Boston or something. I've got to find this. It's called the Astrology Rap or Astrology Rant. It goes on for women. Jim Morrison, whose photograph belongs in the dictionary next to the word Sagittarius, and Jimi Hendrix also, says, "They say Sagittarius is the most philosophical sign." And then a bunch of girls in the audience, woo, they cheer, right? Because they're like, oh, Jim's into astrology. And he pauses and he says, well, I think astrology's a bunch of bullshit. When you click on Planet Waves, that should play. So there's an example. Now, Jim was definitely not anti-spiritual, but you can see there's that tension where the thing in Sagittarius is so big it's incomprehensible, and that is how you can feel. And this, like, requires some therapy because you can't escape this. You can't pretend to not be it. And it is vitally important for reasons I'll say now, to be grounded, right? Because Sagittarius can be very, very ungrounded. And it can really need ankle weights. And, carry like a big rod of zinc in one pocket and copper in the other to keep yourself grounded. And there are places in the chart that you get this. And we're going to get to those in a second. In fact, I'm going to do the Earth signs in the second. I'm going to divide this program into four segments to tighten it up a little bit. Same length, but I'm just going to change topics more quickly. There is a total solar eclipse coming on the Great Attractor on December 4th. This is a huge, huge day. And it is 2 degrees from the Great Attractor in its current position, but it's right on the Great Attractor of anyone born like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And longer. That 12.5 degrees is where it has been in almost every natal chart I have ever cast. And so that is the location of the Great Attractor in people's charts, except for the very young or very, very old. And this will be the full activation of all the powers and properties of Sagittarius. That's a beautiful thing. And there is a kind of a hot pursuit quality of the Great Attractor that can be activated. There is an effect of things having reach beyond their apparent, what you would think would be the impact in space and time of the event. The things can reach around very distant corners and have effects that you never even hear about, and this includes what you do. And there's another part of that, which I have seen work, which is that when the Great Attractor is active in someone's chart, as a natal Sag, Sun, Moon, Rising, it is by default activated, but sometimes you might have, many of you have Chiron square the Great Attractor, some of you have Neptune conjunct the Great Attractor, depending on the year you're born. The people who would do you harm can't quite get to you. It's like a football coach holding the head of a peewee football player, and there's no way the kid's gonna tackle the coach because the coach is like three times the size and he's out of reach. And so there is that out of reach quality that is both helpful to you and alienating, right? Because it can make you seem inaccessible. And, you know, to be accessible, you got to be accessible. That's a choice that you make to make yourself available. Now, this eclipse is part of a series of eclipses that represent what you might think of as gravity assist boost points in time and space. And this begins the Sagittarius eclipses. So the lunar nodes. The lunar nodes take 18 months to pass through a sign. They return in 18 years. They flip every 9 years. But when the nodes are in a sign pair, for example, Gemini, Sagittarius, the eclipses are in approximately Gemini, Sagittarius. And you have had the south node running through your sign, meaning it's been near your sun, near your moon, or near your ascendant, or some combination and potentially other planets. And when the eclipses come, it's like an acceleration point over and over again, like each time one happens. And there's also a release point. But the lunar nodes moving through a sign, which is now about to end, the lunar nodes are just done. They retrograde. The direction overall is retrograde. They're about to retrograde into Scorpio Taurus. When the south node is moving through your sign, that is like, it's kind of like getting your teeth scaled and cleaned. It's the kind of dredging out and sharing, well, you might say sharing with the universe, dredging out and releasing, that's the word I was looking for, old material. And the eclipses follow the nodes, and they aid and abet these processes, and they represent a time of concentrated acceleration of this process. And then the nodes move on, then they leave you alone for a while. And because the eclipses happen across an axis, 180-degree axis, they are also profoundly influential in our relationships. Anything opposite the sun, the moon, or the ascendant will have an effect on relationships because it's the seventh house of that thing, whatever it might be, sun, moon, or rising sign. So that all said, the following were the dates of eclipses. 5 June 2020, right in the middle of Sag, 1541. Then they were lingering around Cancer and Capricorn as the nodes changed. Then there was a lunar eclipse in Gemini about a year ago on November 30th, 2020. Then there was a total solar eclipse. The first of the solar eclipses in Sagittarius on 14 December 20. So that was a little less than a year ago. At 23 degrees, very close to the galactic center. Galactic center is at about 27, so this is 4 degrees off. Then there was a lunar eclipse in the spring of 2021, this past spring, at 5 degrees of Sagittarius. That was paired with a solar eclipse in your opposite sign, Gemini, in June of 2021. So there was a perfect moon-sun eclipse pair in late 20, and then in the spring of 21, two of them. And now, the recent eclipse lunar that we had was at late Taurus. So now the emphasis is moving to Taurus Scorpio, but one last total solar eclipse on December 4th at 12:21 Sag. So this concludes an extended phase of releasing, cleaning, cleansing of your life, and the reshaping of one's experience and one's psyche can happen by acquisition of attributes and experiences, and it can happen by the release of attributes. All of the eclipses that took place in Sagittarius for the past 18 months were on the South Node. They are release eclipses, and the South Node is a release point. So this stage of solar-lunar cycle, South Node moving through, and eclipses is about you being shaped by what you're letting go of. And this is the first and last solar eclipse, and it's a total solar eclipse on the Great Attractor for this cycle. There was a lunar in early mid-20, but that was the closest. The eclipse is the path of totality is over the South Seas. It's over Antarctica. It's over Australia, and New Zealand will catch the partial. So the path of totality goes right over Antarctica. I'm not sure I've ever heard of that. Then down under, way at the bottom, Australia and New Zealand, will some locations get a glimpse of a partial. This is why, astrologically, things are so intense in those areas right now. some weird shit is going on in Australia. I have no clue what's going on in Antarctica. So that is my wrap-up, kind of introduction of the greatness of this moment and of the true nature of that which is Sagittarian. And we could think of it this way. The South Node and these eclipses moving through Sagittarius has been here to remove all that you are not, to pare that back, peel back layers, reach down deeper underneath your awareness, and in the process of removing what you are not, it exposes or grants you access to what you are. Process of elimination, revealing your reality. Let's take a little break. This is Vision Quest featuring Jelko.